I have a few closing thoughts on this profile of the wicked. What we've not, we've considered a lot of things here today, but what we've not considered yet is what will become of the wicked in the end and why. And getting back to this Psalm 10 here, where we began our journey, it's interesting how Psalm 10 is laid out, how it starts off. It says, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Compare that with how it's ending up, and it says in 17 and 18, it says, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, and that the man of earth may no more oppress. So the suggestion is that the time between now and then has something to do with preparing the humble's heart ahead of judgment. Preparing the heart how? Well, by all appearances, several things go into it. You know, with regeneration and the mortification of sin, sanctification, atonement. But also along with that are these trials and persecutions. The temporary trial here from the wicked has some part in it. The cry suddenly calls out for God's action against the wicked. Why? For instance, 10:12 says, Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. In some cases, like in Psalm 109, the cry is going out for the here and now. Notice how the saint says, let his days, meaning the wicked, let his days be few and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath and let the stranger spoil his labor. But in some other cases, like Psalm 21, the cry is going out for a final reckoning. Psalm 21:9, for instance, says, Thou shalt make them, the wicked, a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. So just as numerous as these many verses profiling the wicked are, and there are verses profiling God's righteous. I hope to get to that real soon here. We've got plenty of occasion here where we can pull out a similar list here, a profile of the righteous. But even in this psalm, Psalm 10, the mindset of the saint is partially revealed. Notice in Psalms 10:2, it says, The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor, let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. Or 10:14, it says, Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it at thine hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee, thou art a helper of the fatherless. Or Psalms 10:15-16. We read here, read along with me. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. And the heathen are perished out of his sight. The wicked is always pictured as coming to an eventual end, an eventual but determinate end by the direct hand of God. The judgment of God. Part of that judgment throne. Yesterday, Psalms 9, we were talking about God having established here on earth. The saint is always pictured crying out for that time to be, by God's power, now. I'd also like to caution all of us here that not everyone we think meets the certain characteristics in today's profile of the wicked is wicked. There's a difference between being the wicked, right? Or doing wickedness. You could do wickedness without necessarily being wicked. We all do wickedness. It's interesting to hear what types of persons the saints in the past have thought these most, quote, most wicked to be. I mean, there's been talks of certain presidents or dictators or kings or rulers, ruling bodies, governments, governmental systems. As of late, there's been a lot of talk about there being a deep state. That fits a lot of these profiles. Certain political parties or Machiavellian type ideologies. There's also been talk through the ages of like the World Trade Commission, World Trade Organization, or the United Nations, the Trilateral Commission, the Federal Reserve. Organizations like this. I think, you know, judging it, I go back and forth on this, but judging it by our profile, you know, there's a secrecy to it and there's a concealment of it. We don't really know where the shots are coming from. It could be certain people within these organizations. I almost think that these people are off at a different level. These might be the people that are influencing a World Trade Organization or the United Nations or a Trilateral Commission. Maybe not necessarily the members thereof. The members of thereof might be those that are being influenced or being dictated to or being governed by these more hidden people. I'm not completely sure. There's also been talks in the past about mafias. They fit this kind of thing, or the gangs, the street gangs, or the cartels, or the syndicates. They meet quite a few of these characteristics. Throughout the past, there's been talks of popes, or bishops, or cardinals, or counter-reformational Jesuits, or Illuminati, or Freemasons, or Satanists, or Wiccans. They meet a lot of these characteristics. Could be any or all of these, or it could be few of these, or none. And with all this, just to throw also into your considerations here, it's funny how we are prone to seeing anything opposing our own interests as being wicked. That label can be thrown around quite loosely. We have to be careful of that. And it's funny how we're prone to seeing anything that we here adhere to as being righteous, right? We kind of stack the table here. Anything we do is righteous, and anything else someone's opposed to us does is wicked. And that's just human nature. That's part of the purpose of having a profile now like this. As we go on here through the remainder of the Psalms and our Back to the Psalm series, and we brush up against this wicked and profile again, we can look back on this profile and have a better understanding of it to it, and maybe not be so quick to judge, but always curious and always looking and always observing and always in consideration of where these folks might be found in our day and age. And to not fear them. I think the important thing for the saint to know about this profile is to be aware and recognize, to humble ourselves to God and to God's power, God's grace, God's provision. We certainly have to stand against wickedness. We have to stand for the destitute and the needy and the fatherless and the orphaned. And I mean the truly destitute, that kind of thing, the widows, the things that we've stood for all along. We have to stand for justice. We have to stand for equity and equality. We have to stand for law and order and authority, as we always have. It's important for the saint to be constant of heart in preparing themselves and knowing and searching out and finding the direction God is constantly moving, you know? So hopefully this profile here helps you. It doesn't have a whole lot to do with Psalms 10 here, but Psalms 10 just was so packed with so many references to the wicked, it got us started down this road. This isn't a psalm, like I said originally, about the wicked. This is a song about God and God's judgment of the wicked. Not only does God have to judge sinners like all of us, he has to judge the wicked or who are specific against him. In the psalm, the same word that has been translated as wicked has also been translated as ungodly. We read about the same word in Psalm 1 when it said this, walk not in the path of the ungodly. We were talking about how easy it is for these wicked to take us by our good intentions, by our passionate seeking for righteous or civilly just or civil righteous causes, how easily these causes and movements are swung and bent and used almost against their own righteous cause by the wicked. How some of these civil causes go on and on and on and on for years and years and years and years, never really make much progress as far as the righteous cause goes, but make a lot of progress for the kind of damage that the wicked wants to do to the just and to the loosening and the relinquishing of law and authority and moral order and ethics and that kind of thing. We keep fighting for the righteous part of that cause, but what we're doing in a very real sense is that we're aiding and abetting the wicked who have taken that cause and bent it their direction by their leadership and by their deceit and cunning. We've seen today that so many of the wicked gravitate towards leadership, and their voice walks the earth. You know, in the time it takes a lie to make it halfway around the world, the truth has barely gotten its shoes on and tied. I think we've learned a lot. Let's leave it at that today. We'll get back to more pieces of this and start talking about some of these references individually as we come upon them. And that's part of the beauty of doing a Back to the Psalms series like this. We're going to be talking about a whole lot of different things. Hope you're enjoying it.